Blog Talk Radio.
Of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath. I hope everybody's had a blessed day, that you got something out of the precept on this morning, and that you're ready to eat from the Word of the Most High on this evening. You know, I'm so excited to get into this precept that, you know, I didn't even blow the shofar this morning. I was like, wow, going to have to make sure we do it this evening. Because we want to be obedient to the Most High in His Word. So, without further ado, let me go ahead and blow the shofar, and we will get into our statement of faith. Global Kingdom Ministry. We want to welcome all those who are in Cloud Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening, North America or South America, the continent of Africa or the European theater or the Far East. We greet you all in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ in the English. We are continuing in the There Is No Trinity. And we're looking at it on this evening from the standpoint of the titles, The Rock and the King. We'll be discussing those two titles on this evening, The Rock and the King. I want to have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, and let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let each and every one of us raise up a hand clap of praise to the Most High Elohim. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're just so wonderful. Hallelujah. 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 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 praises to you, O Yah. And if that is not enough, we'll do it 10,000 times again, because you are worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just want to give you glory and honor. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Father. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And so, Father, we just want to thank you and lift you up on this evening and magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to our Elohim, for there is none like him. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High, Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. Yah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Are there any questions from this morning on the titles of I am He, the first and the last? If you have a question concerning that precept, those titles, if you press the number one, we will answer your question. All right. And if not, we will go ahead and move on. The title of The Rock. The Rock. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're going to be getting verses 1 through 4. And these are scriptures about the Most High being the rock, our rock. And so you want to put it up under that column, God or the Most High, however you identify that column. But these are scriptures that identify the Most High as our rock. Verses 1 through 4. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop down as the rain. This is the Most High speaking. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of Yah, ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, an Elohim of truth, and without iniquity. Just and right is he. So in verse 4, we have it being identified that the Most High, he is our rock. He is the rock. He is the foundation. And when we think of a rock, you know, I don't want you to think of a pebble or a rock that you can pick up and throw. This is actually standing for like a foundation, something that you build upon. Okay, and when we go into the New Testament, we'll find out that it doesn't use the word, well, it does use the word rock in some cases, but it uses the word stone. Okay, and we're going to get that definition here in a few seconds when we go into Isaiah. So he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. If you build your life, your moral standards, on the Most High, you will be solid. You will have a solid foundation. Whatever you build on him will stand. Okay. Let's go to Psalms chapter 18. The book of Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18, and we're going to get verse 2. We might as well read verses 1 and 2. I believe that's where I want to go. Yeah. Psalms chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Yah, my strength. Yah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my Elohim, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. The Most High is the one that we can depend upon. He's our everything. He's our underpinning. He is supposed to be our fortress, our deliverer, our strength. It is in him that we place our trust. He is our buckler. A buckler is like a man of war, a fighter. And the horn of our salvation. He is that high tower, that strong tower that we run into for safety. You know, away from the storms, away from affliction. So, again, here in the psalmist, David, identifies Yah as his rock, his foundation, his fortress. In whom shall he trust? Who shall you trust in? Let's go to back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I really want to read this whole chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 32. We read verses 1 through 4. But I want to go back there and I want to read, start in verse 5 and continue to read and read the entire chapter. Because it references the Most High as the rock and gives us some foundations, some definitions that we are to use for this title. So back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to start in verse 5. I should have just stayed there, but in my notes, I had gone through and added to go back and do this whole, you know, this whole chapter. All right, so we'll start in verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, an Elohim of truth, and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. We know who this is he's talking about. This is always Israel. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite Yah, O foolish people? Do you requite him? Let's look up this word requite and see what the definition of it is. Requite. Do you quit? Do you repay either good for good or evil? In a good sense, to recompense, to return, an equivalent in good, to reward. Do you thus requite Yah, O foolish people? Are you repaying him with evil and unwise? Is not he thy father that has bought thee? Has he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Now, I really do think that coming from the scriptures and coming, you know, this way, and because of us going through our, you know, our immediate ancestors, going through slavery and being caused to forget who we were as a people, it is really hard for us to go back. You know, for a lot of us, let's just be truthful, for a lot of us, we can't trace our ancestry back a whole lot. And so if we're trying to ask, you know, our fathers or ask the elders, if we're not in communities, we don't really have this. But, you know, to go back and ask the people who are the hoary head how the Most High sustained them, those that truly count upon him, that are living lives and, you know, living holy and godly lives. We have been, I can't say this is an absolute, but I can say from my perspective, and this is my perspective, we have been missing this testimony amongst our people for a generation or two. And really, ever since we came out of slavery, the longer we've been out of slavery, it seems like the far further away from the Most High we got. When we didn't have anybody else to call upon, we called upon the Most High. And, you know, even not knowing who we were, we called upon him. And he made it that way. But as we have come out of slavery and we're supposed to become, quote-unquote, civilized, quote-unquote, industrialized, assimilated into this society, the more like our captors we have become, the more like our enslavers we have become. And so in our families, and, you know, I can say for my family, I don't see that depth there of, you know, my ancestors calling on the Most High, even though I know they believe, but I can't testify to that. If I ever saw it, then I forgot it. Okay. And so we need to reestablish this so that, you know, we can, the next generation, we can pass this to, that, you know, we have this testimony that the Most High is our rock, that we're counting on him, that we, you know, he is our fortress, he is our high tower. Like I said, I can only speak for myself. If your experience is different, then all praise to the Most High. You don't know how blessed you are. Okay, but I know that these recent last two generations, Generation X and Generation Y, even the baby boomer generation can't really testify this way. So it's something that we really need to reestablish on a broad, a wide, and a deep scale. You know, that we have this testimony. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I want you to think about what we just read there. Okay? Because everything is centered around Israel. So let's read this again and understand what the Most High is saying. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, Germans, this is what you're going to get. Russians, this is what you're going to get. People in the Congo, this is what you're going to get. People in Nigeria, this is what you're going to get. Yada, yada, yada. All around the world, all these different nations. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The children of Israel didn't even exist yet when he did this. But he knew how many priests he wanted and needed, and then said that the nations are going to populate their people based upon this number. So many for each priest. Okay. For Yah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now, we've done these precepts before. And we know that we are the Israel is the inheritance of the Most High. And according to his priesthood, he set the boundaries and the number of the people according to the number of the children of Israel that he was going to have, so that his priesthood could represent the entire world. Okay. And in a lot of cases, you know, I have to go back and really ask the Most High, but when he did it with Israel, when he changed out all the firstborn in the world belong to the Most High, all the firstborn. All the firstborn of Israel belong to the Most High, and they were supposed to become part of his priesthood. But then he chose the tribe of Levi to replace them. And it was a one-for-one exchange. So one Levi for one firstborn. And that was the number of the priest. And then if there were more people, then there were more than priests, then the people had to redeem with money, those that were above the number of priests. He's going to do the same thing in the world. So the number of the children of Israel, if the number of the firstborn in the world is greater than the number of the children of Israel, all those nations that have more people than there are priests to cover them, they will have to bring those people will have to be redeemed with money that will be brought to Messiah. It'll actually be brought to those priests that are in that country over them. So this is a little bit of history, but this is the way it's going to be done. So for Yah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Out of the earth, out of all the people on the earth, Israel belongs to the Most High. Israel is the Most High's inheritance. Now, we've done precepts before where I showed you who the Most High's people actually are. Okay. The people that he called outside of the priesthood, his people. Not getting into that tonight, but Israel is his inheritance. Okay, out of the world. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. You are the apple of the Most High's eye. And when the Most High tells someone, this is why I don't really understand our forefathers. I don't understand, you know, I can't really speak against them, because he says, hey, don't speak against them, because if you had been back there, you'd have done the same thing. But really, think about this. The creator of everything says that you are the apple of my eye. You are my favorite. And then he says, only you have I loved. Only you have I loved. Out of all mankind. I want us to hear this, because as Hebrews, we have to value this. As I said, and I'm using this to bring kind of a multiple message, but I always want to put before us as his people, as understanding that with the Most High selecting us as a people, and then the Most High then giving us the ability to become his children. And then him saying, you are the apple of my eye. And for our forefathers to do what they did, to be disobedient, there is no way in the world that we can read this and understand who it is that's saying it, and then we ourselves be disobedient. Really? I mean, for real, really? You have to be really, and I'm going to say this in a way, and I don't want anybody to get offended, because this word retarded, for what it means that you're slow in growth. You are, you're hampered, okay? But you got to be retarded, okay? Something is hampering you in your ability to know and understand and believe who you are and the importance of it. And so for the Most High to say you are the apple of my eye and you put no value in that, and it doesn't cause you to say, oh, I really want to please the Most High. I really want to please him. I really want to do those things that are found pleasing in his eye. But, you know, like I said, the cherry on top of that cake, only you have I loved. That coming from the Most High. For him to say that. As his people, which he says, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to keep a remnant of you. That's how special you are. You should be as Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, you don't know nobody today from Sodom and Gomorrah. There ain't a person on this earth that says, oh yeah, I'm from Sodom and Gomorrah. My relatives, my ancestors are from Sodom and Gomorrah. They don't exist. And he says, that's the way Israel and Judah should be. We shouldn't exist. You should be as Sodom and Gomorrah. But you're the apple of my eye. And only you have I loved. And that's not to make us puffed up, but it should really humble you. Wow. Of all the people on the earth, of all the nations, the Most High chose us, not because we were many, but because we were few. And then his feelings for us is, you're the apple of my eye. I get pleasure looking at you. It pleases me. But you went a-whoring after other gods. That accusation, it breaks my heart every time I think about it. It really does. It hurts me to my heart that for who he is, our rock, our foundation, the one that we should be depending upon for everything, that he would think that way about us, about our forefathers, and that they should treat him the way that they did. You know, this is not just anybody or anything saying this, but it's the Most High Elohim, the creator of everything, seen and unseen. In this creation and outside of this creation. So, Israel, listen. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how hard you've had it. In the end, if you stick with your Elohim, you will have joy unspeakable. This 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 years that you might have on this earth, it's but a blink. Think back, no matter how old you are right now. Think back to when you were 9 or when you were 8, however far back you can remember. And it was like a blink, like the blink of an eye, like it was yesterday. So take that to heart. This is but a blink. Somebody went to bed last night and they blinked. They closed their eyes and they didn't wake up this morning. And so each and every one of us should consider who it is that we're serving. Each and every one of us should consider and cause this to be reason enough that you commit 100% to the Most High, period. Period. Commit 100%. An eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings. So Yah alone did lead him, Israel, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck the honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Again, this rock in the desert evidently did more than one thing, because that flint rock is the same rock, that flinty rock is the same rock that the water came out of. He says oil came out of it also. I guess for them to light their fires, to cook with. Things that we just don't see today. We don't see these types of actions. And mankind is, you know, busy trying to make sure that he has what he needs. But the Most High says, I brought them out of Egypt and carried them through the deserts to cause them to walk and ride on the high places. And I did it in such a way that I wanted them to depend upon me as their rock. As whatever you need, I'm going to provide it. Whether it's water, whether it's oil, whether it's food. Butter of kine is like a cow, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with the fat of lambs and of rams, and the bread of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys, of wheat. Thus thou did drink the pure blood of the grape, wine. But Yeshurun, wax fat. Now this is righteous Israel. Wax fat. And when they got fat, they kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Fatness in the scriptures represents prosperity. Doing well. You ain't starving. That kind of deal. Then he, Yeshurun, forsook Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Lightly esteemed, lightly cared about, lightly thought about, lightly considered who it was and valued who it was that they were serving. So when we get where we feel like we are fat, we don't have no worries, we think we are secure, then typically what our forefathers did, they started to esteem the Most High lowly, didn't put a whole lot of value in the of their salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with strange Elohims, with abominations provoked them, they him to anger. Now the Most High says, he did the same thing back to Israel. This is a, you are the love of my life. You are the apple of my eye. Only you have I loved. Of all the people on the earth, only you have I loved. And you went a-whoring after other gods. Our rock provoked him to anger. you going around serving stuff that ain't no Elohim, you going around practicing all these wicked practices that I told you not to do, made me angry. They sacrifice unto devils, not to Elohim. To Elohims whom they knew not, to new Elohims that came newly up. If something is a God, a true God, then it should be eternal, just like the Most High. So you shouldn't have a new Elohim. If it's new, somebody invented it, somebody created it. To new Elohims that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and has forgotten Elohim that formed thee. So of the rock, of the foundation, the Most High that begat us, our forefathers became what? Unmindful. I mean, he ain't got to worry about that. He ain't going to do nothing. He just all talk. Always complaining. Always demanding something. This is being unmindful. You ain't going to worry about it. And has forgotten Elohim that formed thee. And when Yah saw it, he abhorred. Just look up this word abhorred, because it is a strong hatred. Abhorred. And let's see. Verse 19. Is na'atz in Hebrew, to scorn by interchange, to bloom, abhor, give occasion, blasphemy, contempt, despise, flourish, great, provoke. This is like a strong, really it's a strong hatred, a strong despise. I despise you now. Because I shed forth my love and my kindness and my mercy on you. I loved you and I cared for you. And from the standpoint of a relationship, his woman wouldn't keep her legs closed. She is always in front of somebody else trying to tempt them, trying to get them to do something with her. And I'm the one that provides for you, gives you everything. So he says he became to where he strongly disliked Israel because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. This just wasn't the men acting crazy. It was the women too. Just the people, period, acting crazy. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. Froward. Let's look at this word. And we're going to look and see what the definition for froward is. In the Hebrew, that word is tapuka, a perversity or fraud, perverse thing. So we could say or reread this, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy, which is not Elohim. It's not him. He says, I'm the only Elohim there is, but you want to worship these things as though they're me. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity. and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Now, I was going through the scriptures, and I would explain to one of the sisters concerning this, that, you know, the Most High used the Gentiles and the church to provoke Israel to jealousy. And this is the reason why. Because Israel, our forefathers, provoked him to jealousy by serving things that were not him as though they were him. And doing things, you know, services and all these things with these strange gods that he had not even told them, you know, I don't know, maybe it would have been different if they only did to these strange gods what he said to do for him. But they went, you know, and they started doing perverse things with these strange gods as though they were worshiping him. And he says, you worshiping something, it ain't me, like you worshiping me, but then you doing things that I told you definitely not to do, and you doing it with these strange gods. So he said, I'm going to move them to jealousy, with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That foolish nation is the church, teaching that it doesn't have to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, that it's not up under the law. It's wild. Calls it a wild olive tree. Just want to do whatever they want to do and claim him as their God. And he says, well, if you are my people, if I'm your God, then you got to follow and do what I say do. But you want to come and tell me what you're going to do. This is a foolish nation. And that's the Gentiles. And he says, Israel, you know what you're supposed to be doing. You didn't do it. And now when I take the church and make it up of all these different nations, then you want to get jealous. Well, I was in the church and they were doing this and they didn't teach me the truth and this yada, yada, yada. But the truth of the matter is the Most High caused that to be because of what our forefathers did. Provoked him to jealousy. Provoked our rock to jealousy. Verse 22. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. You know, stuff that's going to start happening to my people. They're going to get chased. They're going to get scattered. They're going to get killed. They're going to get enslaved. They're going to die from these diseases that, you know, everybody else ain't dying from. They're going to have the worst of health. Yada, yada, yada. Mischief. Because of the anger of the Most High. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of the serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, and the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. From the young to the old, I ain't leaving out nobody. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high. Now the Most High said the only reason that Israel is still here, because he didn't want the adversaries of Israel and of the Most High to say, our hand is high, and Yah has not done all of this. He didn't want nobody else taking credit for this. So we can't point our fingers at any of the nations and say, you did this to us, even though they did it. They did it at the hand of the Most High. They did it at his instruction. And he said, even then, they themselves went too far. This is the apple of my eye. This is my beloved. I was only a little mad at her for making me jealous. So, yeah, I got angry, and I was taking out my anger on them using the nations. And then the nations know that this is the apple of my eye. This is the one that I'm going to give co-rulership with me on this earth. And we don't want them to rule over us. So I often marvel that the nations would conspire that Israel should not be a people anymore. And every country that they're in, they are despised. They are, we're despised and we are taken advantage of. We're not treated equally. Racial prejudice. But then they want to take our Elohim and our Savior and claim him as their own. And he says, I open this up to them because of you, Israel, because of your disobedience. So it just kind of, you know, amazes me. We don't want you, the people, to rule over us. But because of who your king is, we'll let him rule over us. But he said, hey, you can't mistreat my people. Every place that you go in the scriptures, and hear this as well, every place that you go in the scriptures, even though the Most High might use a people to punish Israel, if that people becomes puffed up and boast that our hand is high and we have done this, like Nebuchadnezzar or the kings of Assyria, the Most High says, I'm in control of this, and you have gone too far, or you're trying to take credit, and he destroys them for messing with his people and trying to take credit for it. Most High says, I'm using you to whip them. But don't ever think that you are supposed to just have it in for my people. They belong to me. So this love-hate relationship, this relationship where the Most High says, just be obedient. Just do what I say do. And you'll get fat. You'll be blessed. You'll ride in the high places. You'll have the best of everything. I'm not going to let you be my people, my wife, the apple of my eye, and you not be blessed. We're out here trying to get it the way the world says get it. The Most High says, I would have given it to you. Matter of fact, I did give it to you. And when I gave it to you, you became vain. You became puffed up. You went out a whoring after other gods. You got it good at home, and you just can't keep your legs closed. Got to always be in somebody's face. Got to always be trying to get what they got. When, if you wanted it, I would have given it to you. Just be faithful to me. So the Most High says, you know, the only reason that you're still around and that I didn't allow these nations to utterly destroy you, because I didn't want them taking credit. I did all this to you. And I don't want them saying, we did all this and taking the credit. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Have you even thought about, and I'm speaking in a past tense here, he's speaking to our forefathers, have you even thought about what the end of your actions is going to be, the consequences of your actions? Have you considered it, what your latter end is going to be? It says, we are a nation void of counsel, without understanding. He said, I wish they were wise. that they understood this. So I say to us today, hindsight is 20/20. You can always read the scriptures and see what your forefathers did and say, yada, yada, yada. If I was them, I would have did this. They should have done that. They should have did this. The question is, what are you doing? Can you read this and know this and see this and have clear vision, 20/20 vision, as to what happened and what they did and what the Most High is saying, and not do right? Doesn't make sense to me. Okay. Doesn't make sense to me. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rocket sold them and Yah had shut them up? What is he saying here? When Israel would go into battle, one would chase 1,000. Two would chase 10,000, 10 times that amount. So how could you do that except your rock? Your rock, the one that formed thee, the one that is taking care of you, had sold them. I'm in control of them too. And so whoever I bring you against, I'm going to deliver them into your hands. I'm fighting against them and for you. So one of you can chase 1,000. Two of you get together, you chase 10,000. It's not by your power, it's because of me. And they didn't appreciate that. For their rock is not our rock. Their rock, their foundation, what those nations are standing on is not our rock, our foundation, even our enemies themselves being judges. Our enemies used to say, after we kicked their butt, your God is God. He's the only God there is. That would be their judgment, their testimony. And we wouldn't do right. Found all kind of reasons not to do right. Found all kind of reasons. You know, as I said, the Most High equates this relationship to a relationship like a man and a woman. And so that's the only examples that I can really give you. This is your man who you committed to, said you would obey 100%. And then when he's not around, you court another man. And not only are you courting them, you paying them to sleep with you. Our forefathers were just doing some crazy stuff. And the Most High said it provoked him to anger. And he says, why would you do this when I would go with you to battle? One of you would chase 1,000. Two of you together would chase 10,000. Because when you would go into battle, what the enemy would see, it would be one of you, but what the enemy would see is 10,000. And when it was two of you, the enemy would see 100,000. We have examples of this in the scriptures. Most of that I caused them to see what was not even there. And they would run, and you would chase them, and you would be killing them. Because they're thinking that there's a horde after them, and it was only one of you. And that wasn't enough for you. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, it was destroyed. They were destroyed not more so for homosexuality or liking strange flesh. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because they had an abundance of everything and wouldn't take care of the fatherless, the widow, and the homeless. Those are the things the Most High cares about. Yeah, he's still going to destroy you if you're practicing perverseness. Man with man, woman with woman. But that's not the real reason he destroyed them. He destroyed them because they had the ability to take care of the less fortunate in their society, and they didn't do it. Now, we as his people, if we don't start doing these things, if we don't make it a point to do these things, we are as Sodom and Gomorrah. We are just as guilty. And it has to be a primary function of the community that we're doing these things, because this is what he cares about. So if you're in a relationship, you find out what the person that you are with cares about, male and female, and you do those things that to make them happy, that they care about. Okay, and this is what the Most High says, I told you what I cared about, and you wouldn't do it. Their wine is poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asp. Asp is a snake. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongs vengeance, and recompense, repayment. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste or hurry. For Yah shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their Elohims, their rock in whom they trusted? We, our forefathers, went after all these strange gods. He says, I'm going to judge you until you are no more, and then I'm going to ask you, now, where is your man at? The one that you went chasing after. Where is he at to look after you, to take care of you? The one you trusted in. Where is he at? Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you. You fed him, you gave him to drink, you fornicated with him. Where is he at? Where is your protection that you thought you had? See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no Elohim with me. I kill and make alive. I wound and heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. You thought you had safety and protection and security with the one that you were fornicating with the one that you were given the wine that I gave to you, the food that I gave to you, the jewels that I gave to you. You thought you were protected. But I'm the one. I kill. The Most High is saying this to Israel. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword, and that wetting means to pull it and use it, that it has blood on it, and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies, and I will reward them that hate me. Who hates him? Who does he say hates him? Those that don't keep his commandments and obey his voice. Those that are disobedient, he says it straight up in other places, they hate him. You hate me. I'm going to repay you. Israel, you hate me. You disobeyed my voice, and you are the apple of my eye. Only you have I loved. And you hated me. And so I caused all these things to come on you. But you're still the apple of my eye. And I'm not going to kill you all. But I'm going to get all those that hate me, both Jew and Gentile. Okay? I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. See, the Most High is not playing. He never has been playing. As our rock, he tells us, I was your rock. You were established upon me. And as your rock, I made you fat. I blessed you. I made you a righteous nation, and then you turn around and mess around. Provoke me to anger. Made me jealous. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and unto his people, all those who repent, who come and serve him faithfully, are his people. Everybody else is an adversary. Everyone else is an adversary. He says he's going to avenge them. He's going to have vengeance on his adversaries. And it ain't going to be a pretty time. And I will be merciful unto his land, or he will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song to the ears of the people. Now, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun, and Moses made an end of the speaking of all these words to all Israel. Now, I probably should have gave you the background, the backdrop for this before I read it. But we were talking about the rock. But this is a song that we just read. A song that we just read. And this song, the Most High told Moses to write this song. He says, because these people are going to corrupt themselves after I make them fat. He's telling them, he's prophesying and giving them the future. None of this stuff had happened yet. None of it had happened yet. And the Most High was saying, I'm your rock. I'm your foundation. All these things, when there was no strange God among you, you have done. But as far as you being a great nation, hadn't happened yet. As far as you becoming fat, it hadn't happened yet. And he said, teach it to the people as a testimony against them. Because this is what they're going to do. Now, we read this as though everything had already happened. And it's the past and what have you. But at this time, when Moses speaks these words to Israel, none of this had happened. The Most High told Moses, it's time for you to die. Before you die, write this song. And this is the words of the song that I want that Israel should learn and teach itself. As a testimony against them. This is what you're going to do to me. It's like one of them country records. You know, you play a country record, kind of a joke, and you lose your wife, you lose your kids, you lose your home, you lose your man. And then you play it back, but you get it all back. That's just a joke. But anyway, this is what that's like. He's saying, write this song, and it's a testimony against them. This is what they're going to do as a people to me. And Moses made an end of the speaking of all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. This law is your life. The doing of this law is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. And Yah spake the words that self same day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto the Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount, whether thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people, because you trespass against me. Moses trespassed against the Most High one time. Shall we make water come out of this rock one time? Cause them not to be able to go into the promised land. So we should be very afraid. We really should be very afraid of trespassing against the Most High and saying he's going to have mercy. Moses, his servant, he said there was no prophet like him. I speak mouth to mouth with him. But he transgressed against me once. And he says, you transgressed against me among the children of Israel at the waters Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. You didn't set me apart. You didn't say, hey, shall the Most High bring you water out of this rock? You took the glory. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go there unto the land which I give to the children of Israel. So our rock don't play. Our rock does not play. And when I was reading this earlier, I said, you know, we have to read this on this evening as a reminder of who we are, who we're serving, that we are the apple of his eye. But the one that we're, because we're the apple of his eye, he still don't play with us. You be disobedient, I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to discipline you. I want to bless you. I want to give all that I have to you. I just ask that you be obedient at all times. Don't disobey my voice. Don't go after things and worship other things that you're not supposed to be worshiping. Don't make up a God in your mind and then worship him or it like you would be worshiping me. Don't do as your forefathers did. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 17. The book of Isaiah chapter 17. And we're going to get verses 10 and 11. Because thou hast forgotten the Elohim of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, the foundation of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shall set it with strange slips. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. In other words, because you forsake your rock, whatever you plant is not going to flourish. Whatever you try to do is not going to flourish. And it shall be a heap just piled up in the day of grief and in desperate sorrow. And we're going to know that we should have obeyed his voice, that we should have done what we were supposed to do. So we don't want to forsake our rock, the Most High. We don't want to forsake him no matter how he comes. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. And this is the Most High telling us that he's our rock. He's the foundation. He's the one that blesses us. He's the one that's doing everything as our rock. 2 Samuel. Chapter 22. Verses 1 through 3. And this is David. And David spake unto Yah the words of this song in the day that Yah had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, Yah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Elohim of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. So David understood that the Most High is his rock. The Most High is his Savior. In him, the Most High, will he trust. Let's drop down to verse 32. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 32. For who is Elohim save Yah? And who is a rock save our Elohim? For who is God, save Yah, except the Most High? And who is the rock, except our Elohim? We have to know this. He's identified in the scriptures, the rock, the Most High, as being our rock. Let's go to Isaiah 28 and 16. All the scriptures I just gave you, they go up under Elohim. This scripture you would put these up under Messiah. Isaiah 28 and 16. Isaiah 28, chapter 16, chapter 28, verse 16. And maybe we should read 15, because 16 is an explanation of 15. I'm not going to give you the background on this right now. We're just going to read these verses. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. It's talking about the people, Israel. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. This is what the people are saying. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a rock, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So this rock, this stone, this cornerstone, this sure foundation, that's what this rock stands for. That's what the Most High says he is to us. And he says, now I'm going to lay a rock, a stone, a cornerstone in Zion. And it's a person, he that believeth on him. But this rock is a person, it's Messiah. So let's go to Acts chapter 4. And let's get verses 11 and 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And this is when they have healed this man. I believe he had, either he could not walk or he had a withered hand. Let's see. Let me go back up a minute here, make sure I got this right. The man was impotent, okay? Means he wasn't whole. Something was wrong with him. Whether he had, you know, couldn't walk, had a withered hand, was demon-possessed. So let's do this. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll read down for context. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yeshua the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time, or evening tide, or in the evening. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, the scribes are the teachers, and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest. So if this is the kindred of the high priest, we know that these have to be the family of Aaron, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, in the middle of these people, you know, the family of the high priest, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom Elohim raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, like we read in Isaiah. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. This stone wasn't set by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. This is the foundation. This is the rock that was not set by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So Messiah is that cornerstone that the Most High prophesied in Isaiah that he would set in Zion, that foundation. He is the rock. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's get verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. The power and the wisdom of the Most High to save them. Okay, so that rock, the foundation, all points back toward the Most High. But Christ also gets that title, the rock. And he is the power and the wisdom of the Most High unto salvation. Because Christ is, remember, Christ is not a who, it's a what, it's a title. The title that Yeshua HaMashiach wears because of the work that he did. But because of that work, the underpinnings of it is he's that rock. And he was the in the wilderness, that rock was the Most High himself. Let's go to Numbers. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone, being the rock, in whom all the building fitly formed, framed together, grows into a holy temple in Yah, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. So if we go back up and read the context of this, it's talking about that we are the temple. And Yeshua being the rock, the chief cornerstone of this temple. So let's start in verse 1 to get the context. And you, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You has he given life. Who were, that's quickened, to be given life, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. We've all been there. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Elohim, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, with Yeshua HaMashiach, with the Mashiach, with the wisdom and the power of the Most High. By grace are you saved. You can't do anything. You can't keep the law and be saved. You don't receive salvation because you, quote unquote, are keeping the law. You receive salvation because it's a gift of the Most High. You keep the law because you want to be in right standing with him. But he says you can't just keep the law and be saved, because then you'll say, I didn't have a need of Messiah. That's why he said your very conception was sin, was iniquity. So you can't say that you're without sin and you don't need, I don't care how perfect a life you live. But once we recognize that we need him, then we're not to continue in sin. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Yeshua HaMashiach. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim. We all deserve death. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Can't say, you know, I keep the laws and I don't need Messiah. No, the way the Most High set this up, no matter how well you kept the laws, you still couldn't bypass not needing Messiah. He made sure of it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ, or created in Yeshua HaMashiach, unto good works, which Elohim has before ordained that we should walk in them. As his people, as his workmanship, as his body, we should walk in good works, not the works of wickedness. Wherefore, or therefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Meaning that this is what the Hebrew Israelite used to call the nations, what the Most High used to call the nations, uncircumcised. Uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh. By that which is called the circumcision. Israel was called the circumcision. And Israel was supposed to be circumcised in heart and in flesh, even in from Torah on. It's not something new. This is not a new concept. The Most High told Israel from the very beginning, I want you to be circumcised in heart and in flesh. And that circumcision of the flesh was to entitle them to the land. The circumcision of the heart is because that's the way he wanted, you know, he wanted them to have a repentant heart. He wanted them to be trainable. That at the time you were without Mashiach, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in the world. But now in Yeshua HaMashiach, you who sometimes were afar off are made near by the blood of Mashiach. You're brought near to the covenant, the same covenant he made with Israel. The Gentiles is who he's talking to here. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's talking about the relationship between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. There was a law, a partition. Our forefathers were not to go and mix with the Gentile nations. It was against the law. Don't go seek out their sons and their daughters to marry to your sons and your daughters, because they are worshiping other gods. Now, if they want to come and join you, that's fine. And they want to come and keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, that's fine. They can join you, and then you can become one. You can give your sons and your daughters to them. But don't go to them that way. And so he had to break down that middle wall of partition between us. He had to take away those laws and said, hey, you can't go to them. That's what that whole ordeal in Acts chapter 10 with Peter was about. I'm taking away this partition now. I'm taking away this law that says that you can't go to the Gentiles, that you can't mix with them. having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. These laws he abolished, that you can't go amongst the Gentiles. For to make of himself, of the two, both Hebrew and Jew, the two, one new man, so making peace. So the hatred and, well, I'll just say the hatred and the laws, the ordinances that said, Israel, you can't mix with the Gentile nations. He said, I took that away. I took away those ordinances, the judgments. Even the law of the commandments concerning this. He didn't take away all the law and all the commandments. He's talking about that partition that he had set up between Israel and the other nations. That's why Peter said, you know it's an unlawful thing for a Jew to go to one of another nation. The Most High removed those laws. He removed it. So making one new man out of the two. The two are Jew and Gentile. One new man in Messiah. So making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto Elohim in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity or the hatred thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Who was afar off the Gentiles were, who was nigh Israel. And for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of Elohim, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Yeshua HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone, the building block, the foundation, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a holy temple in Yah, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. So the Most High says, I've always wanted to dwell in my people. I'm going to dwell in my people, both Jew and Gentile. I'm creating a new man in Mashiach of Jew and Gentile. Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach being the head of that new man. And all the ordinances and the laws, the judgments for those who broke it, and the laws that required it, he removed. He says, now go and spread this gospel. I pray we can hear this. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 6 and 8. 6 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded or confused. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. We're going to go ahead and read verse 8. I say 6 through 8 on this one. Yeah, 6 through 8. And a stone of stumbling. To the disbeliever, Messiah is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So everybody being disobedient, some of them are being disobedient because they were appointed to be disobedient, and they were appointed to judgment. I don't want them to hear. I don't want them to be obedient. And no, they're not getting into the kingdom of the Most High because they were appointed to be disobedient. He's not going to say, oh, well, that's not fair. No, because it was in their heart to be disobedient. It was their desire to be disobedient. So they're appointed to it. So Messiah is the rock. He's appointed as the same foundation for the church, his body, salvation. Just as the Most High is the rock, the foundation for Israel. And we got to understand that the church is supposed to consist of Jews and Gentiles, Hebrew Israelites and Gentiles. One new man, Messiah being the head of that man. We are at 741. Let's start the king. Let's go to Psalms chapter 24. The book of Psalms chapter 24. So I pray we can see how the Most High says that he is the rock in the Old Testament and Messiah is the rock in the New Testament. Psalms chapter 24. And before I move on, maybe I should ask, are there any questions concerning the Most High being the rock and Messiah being that same rock? None? Okay, let's move forward. The King, the title of the King, Psalms 24. The earth is Yah's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of Yah? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from Yah and righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yah, strong and mighty. Yah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yah of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Yah is the King. Psalms 44 and 4. Psalms 44 and 4. Thou art King. Thou art my King, O Elohim. Command deliverance for Jacob. Psalm 74 and 12. Psalm 74 and 12. For Elohim is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Isaiah 43 and 10. Isaiah 43, starting in verse 10. Book of Isaiah, chapter 43, starting in verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I am Yah, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange Elohim among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith Yah, that I am Elohim. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith Yah your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans who cry in the ships. I am Yah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Let's go to Isaiah 44, 6 and 8. Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8. Thus saith Yah, the King of Israel, and his Israel's Redeemer, Yah of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no Elohim. I'm your King and I'm your Elohim, and there's no other. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show it unto you. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. All these scriptures about Yah being the King. Jeremiah chapter 10. Being the King of Israel. He's actually the King of this world. Isaiah 10 and 10. But Yah is the true Elohim. He is the living Elohim, an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. The book of Zechariah, chapter 14 and verse 9. And Yah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yah, and his name one. So we've read that Yah is the King of Israel, and we've now read that Yah is the King of all the earth. And there's going to come a day that there's only going to be him. There's only going to be one king in this earth. And his name shall be one. Okay, let's go to the book of Matthew now. It's about Messiah being the king. Matthew chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, and we're going to get verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Now when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Mosiah said, I'm the King of the Jews. I'm the King of Israel. Now here is the King of the Jews being born into the world. Israel knows that David, Saul, Solomon, all of them were holding the throne for the Most High. The throne that was in Jerusalem was the Most High's throne. And when Israel came and asked the Most High for a king, we want a king like the nations have. He says, told Samuel, hey, Don't be discouraged or mad. It's not you that they're firing, it's me. They want a man as a king. I've been ruling them through my prophets. And I have prophesied that I would come. Your king is coming. I'm going to come. Now here he is being born, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They would have understood this, or they should have understood it, that this was the Most High. The Most High told Israel through the scriptures, I am your king. So when the prophesied king to come through the virgin, they should have known who Messiah was. Herod, who was an Edomite from Esau, tried to kill him. Okay? Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. What do you mean, King of the Jews? I'm the King of the Jews. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. So they knew that he's supposed to be coming. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. So they knew that there was supposed to be a king that came. When he was born, Herod got together with the wise men and inquired of them, you know, where they saw the star at, and you go, and if you find him, send word back to me. And the wise men didn't do that. They left and departed another way after they gave their gifts. They left and didn't go back and tell Herod. Herod then sent some men into Bethlehem to kill the king of Israel. The Most High. That's why I said, everywhere in this book, you got to know that Messiah is the Most High. The Most High says, I'm your king. Where is he that's born King of the Jews? Okay, this is the Most High in flesh, in Messiah. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 32 through 38. Luke 19, verse 32 through 38. Luke 19, verse 32. And they that were sent went their way, and found as even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners, now this is where Messiah is about to do the Passover. He tells them to go. He's entering into Jerusalem on the 10th day of Nisan, or of Abib. And he's entering in on a colt, and not on a stallion. He said, I'm coming in peace. This is your king entering into Jerusalem. And I'm entering in on a colt or the foal of an ass. And when a king did this, you don't go into battle on a donkey. If you're a king and you're going into battle, you're going to be riding a stallion, a big horse. But when he would come on a colt or a donkey, then he's saying he's coming in peace. So he told them to go get, you know, told his disciples, go get this colt. You'll find him here and bring him to me. And then I'm going to enter into Jerusalem. There's more to this story, but don't have time to go into it right now. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose you the colt? Why are you taking the colt? And they said, Yah has need of him. And they brought him to Yeshua, and there cast their garments upon the colt, and set Yeshua thereupon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, you know, making a path like you would throw rose petals and stuff, but now they're using their clothes to set the path for the king to come on. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise Elohim with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of Yah. peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So the disciples are announcing him as the king. And they don't really know why they're doing this. This is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, acting upon them. This is the king, and you need to announce him. This is also the 10th day of the month of Nisan, and this is the day that the sacrificial lamb, that the people would go to Bethlehem to get their sacrificial lambs for Passover. So the Lamb of the Most High is entering into Jerusalem on the 10th of Abib, like all of the sacrificial lambs, for the Passover, and he will be killed on Passover. So I said there's more to this story than just this, but his disciples are announcing him as the king of Israel that comes in the name of Yah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 13 through 15. I give thee charge in the sight of Elohim, who quickens all things, and before Yeshua HaMashiach, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord and Savior, or our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, which is in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, and the Lord of Lords, or Master of Masters. Okay, so he's going to show you who's King of Kings. He's the King of the world. He's the King of Israel. The Most High said he's the King of the world and the King of Israel. And let's see here. I believe this should be Revelations chapter 15. The book of Revelations chapter 15. Verses 1 through 4. Revelations chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And let me correct my records right here. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels, having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of Elohim. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of Elohim. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Yah Elohim Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Okay. So they're singing a song to the Most High and to the Lamb. We know they are one and the same. King of the saints. Revelations chapter 19. The book of Revelations chapter 19. Verses 11 through 16. Revelations chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, just like we read about Messiah last night. His eyes a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of Elohim. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he has treaded, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Elohim Almighty. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Yah of Yahs. Let's go to Luke chapter 23, the book of Luke chapter 23. And we're going to run a couple of minutes late. I got two more verses after this, but we're going to finish this one up tonight. Luke chapter 23, verse 3. Luke 23 and 3. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Yeshua answered him and said, Thou sayest it. So he didn't deny that he was the king. He said, Pilate, you said I'm the king. John chapter 18, the book of John chapter 18. And we're going to be getting verse 37, John chapter 18, verse 37. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Yeshua answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So again, he didn't deny being the king. He says, for this purpose was I born. The king of the Jews had to be born and die for the sins of his people. John chapter 19, verse 21. And with this one, we will be finished with the king. John chapter 19, verse 21. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the king of the Jews, but that he said, I am the king of the Jews. So the Most High told us in Torah and told us through Moses and told us through the prophets that he is the king of Israel. He also said that the world is his and that he's the king of the world. And then we read the same thing concerning Messiah. Every accolade, every compliment, every title that the Most High in the Old Testament ascribes to himself, he ascribes to Messiah. He gives it back to himself so that he has that title in spirit and in flesh. He is not Michael come into the flesh. He is not Gabriel come into the flesh, but Messiah is the Most High in flesh, the King of Israel, his Redeemer and his Savior. With that being said, I hope something was said to encourage you in the scriptures, that was said to enlighten you on tomorrow morning. For spiritual wellness, we will do the Redeemer and the Shepherd. The Most High, the Redeemer and Savior. The Most High, the Shepherd. Messiah, the Redeemer and the Savior. Messiah, the Shepherd. All right. With that being said, if there are no questions, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you once again for showing us that we are your people, that you desire that we would obey your voice and be obedient, that we should know you through the titles that you have established, and that every title that you have given yourself in the Old Testament, you have given to yourself in the New Testament. that you might be preeminent in all things. Whether you are in spirit or in flesh, you are number one. And Father, we reverence that to the highest. And we give you glory and honor, our Elohim and our King. We thank you on this evening. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, family, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Serve Yah and worship him. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. Happy Sabbath and Shalom.
Teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah.